All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles back up to the book of James. And so thankful to the Lord as He continues to pour out His truth and love to us. So thankful to God that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And again, the enabling that Christ has put in us with His life. It is just absolutely wonderful. I'm so excited to think that it is Christ in me. Praise be to God. Just been so enamored to another glory really this week that I'm His workmanship, that it is His life. That's what draws me to the Father, is His life in me, that I come as that precious son to Him. And we converse and we talk and praise God. He's causing me even to listen. Can you imagine? So it's just a wonderful time that we have in Jesus. But as we get back into this, I did want to just point out a couple things, reminded of sweetly by a couple brothers. And then as I was reading something again, you know, when James opens this up, as we said last week, and this might touch on a couple things. We mentioned last week that this precious book, written by the Holy Spirit, we know the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. But He used a vessel whose name was James to write it through. And this James, by God's grace, was James, the brother of Jesus, and talks about that a few times in Scripture. Last week, I mentioned it's in Acts 21, as it mentions James, the brother of Jesus. I did transpose that, by the way, and I appreciate how the saints here know the Word of God. I did say Acts 12. That's a different James, so please, I appreciate the grace you extend me, but sometimes I get to rolling, and I might transpose a number, but it is important. It's in Acts 21, but it is the James that God had put on my heart that we're speaking of here, the one that you'll also see in Mark, who is referred to as James, or little James, and maybe just a little stature fella. So we just praise the Lord for that. But in that, James, the brother of Jesus, as he was always denounced and how he was always addressed, when the Lord spoke through him, when he was to write the Scripture, you know he doesn't say anything of his, in a sense, relationship naturally about his relationship with Jesus Christ. It's James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is his Lord. And I'm so grateful to God that we know this and we treasure in this. But we left off last week in verse 4. And we just so praise God for his encouraging in the precious promise of the riches that we read about. And the riches that are found only in one place. And those were the riches in the trying of our faith. And I know, at least in my life, I've asked the Lord many times, can't we do it another way? And I'm sorry, I'm kind of opening up here, but, you know, sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it is a painful process. Sometimes it is something that we truly despair of our own lives. That wasn't just for Paul. If we are following Paul as he followed Christ Jesus, we are put into predicaments and put into situations, brothers and sisters, that are far beyond us. It's precious to watch and to be thankful at many of the glorious things that we see responding in our lives. But there's some things I'm going to tell you, at least in my life. And I'm sure if you're honest before the Lord, you would say, Lord, does it have to be this way? But by His grace, yes, it does, because we know. And what we know, brothers and sisters, is because God loves us. He loves us. God loves us. And in that love, He perfects everything that concerns us. That all the before ordained good works that we should walk therein are laid out before us. And that's the choice, brothers and sisters, that we should walk therein. Are we going to go that way? Praise God. Get to Nineveh. Amen? Get to Nineveh. Don't try to make a deal with God. Well, this is a good part over here, or this is a good thing that we can go enjoy over here together, Lord. No, He has a perfect way for you. And it is that way, and it's only that way that you're going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And know that, brothers and sisters. But also know that because these are the good works that He has before ordained, brothers and sisters, we can face these God-set appointments. And they are God-set appointments. But they're God-set appointments that are often God-set appointments with sorrow. God set appointments with pain and with anguish. But I'm telling you, because of the Holy Spirit and because of the joy that is set before us, we can be joyous in this walk. I think of it often as I hear of different moms talking about giving birth to their children. The pain, in a sense, was not a joyous thing. But there was joy going all on all the time. Because a baby was coming forth. A life was being born. And there wasn't anything more precious. I talk to moms often. That was like the most glorious day. As the baby came. So, in that, brothers and sisters, we know. We know that God gives us wonderful types. But we can endure. And we can endure not just holding and gritting our teeth. But we can endure with joy. We can even be happy, brothers and sisters, because we know that this is the path to be glorified together with Christ. See, and really, it's not us that want to be glorified. If it's us that wants to be glorified, we're not on that path. See, I want to be glorified with Christ because He wants me to be. I want to be glorified with Christ because it makes the Father beyond. It makes Him happy. It pleases Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. And that is, praise God, some wonderful faith that only works by love and what faith it is. But brothers and sisters, as we sit here tonight, no matter who you are, and obviously I said a brother or sister, so you're a saint. But if there would be a sinner here tonight, if there'd be a sinner listening to this study, in this life, all will suffer. Everybody is going to suffer. You cannot get away from it. But aren't you glad that we know and can rejoice if you suffer with me? Praise be to God. I hope that as you go into these trials, that the Lord would impress upon your heart always, if you suffer with me, if you suffer with me, and you see the sinner does not suffer with God. The sinner suffers alone. I feel sorry for sinners. I really do. I feel sorry for my neighbors that don't know the Lord as Savior. And I see things happening in their life. I love those people. And there's no hope. It's despair. It's a wreck. It's a suffering. And it's like, man, everything's hit the fan. It is a tough time. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, by God's grace, we can look to Him and know that God's children suffer with God. Isn't that wonderful? We do not suffer alone. We are always comforted. God is always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm thankful to Him. Even when I've gone into my self-induced suffering, come on, He still never leaves me nor forsakes me. And I'm so thankful to God that the moment that I turn to Him and say, Lord, take it. This is yours. I've made a mess of this. Romans 8:28, praise God. Romans 8:28. To them who are called according to His purpose. And it's true, brothers and sisters. That's His purpose, is for you to praise Him. To look to Him, to ask Him for help and wisdom, as we'll read here in a moment, brothers and sisters. This is where He wants us. But we know that if we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. Now let's go ahead and read verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom. This is James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom. And I'm telling you what. It's everybody here. Okay. So pay attention. If any of you lack wisdom. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And upbraideth not. That means he doesn't hold it back. And it shall be given him. You see, as we ask in the name of Jesus, and that's how we're supposed to ask, whatever you do or ask, just ask it in the name of Jesus. We know that, that praise God, He's right there to address and right there to help us when our faith is challenged, when we doubt, when we wonder why. Brothers and sisters, this is our answer. And if there was ever a time that we need wisdom, brothers and sisters, it's when we are in trial. Amen? Amen. When we are in trial, man, that's when you need it. That's when you need to come to God and say, Lord, help me. Praise the Lord. Help me not to be proud. Help me to know, Lord, that I need you. Whatever it may be, a financial challenge, a challenge in my home, with my spouse, with my kids, a challenge in church with the fellowship that's going on, a challenge in my mind, in my body. God, help me. I need you. I need, praise the Lord. You told me I hear your voice. I need to hear your voice. And let's go even a step further. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. He's right there to give it. He's right there to give it. And praise be to God, the only place we ever need to look for it, brothers and sisters, for His wisdom, is before the throne of grace. And here it is, the Word of God. It's right there, always readied, always present for that wondrous help that we need. And He pours that out to us freely. He gives it all to us. We just ask. But pay attention here. It says, it shall be given. And I think that's such an important part that we overlook often when we're asking the help of the Lord. It shall be given. All right. And the first four verses hold the answer of what shall be given means. It means wait. Wait. Be patient. Isn't that what this whole thing started out with? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And the Lord has told us very clearly over and over in His Word, there isn't anything more precious than the trying of your faith. So there's something about that patience He loves to see. There's something about that patience that causes us to run and to run well. It's the fuel, if you want to say, or the evidence of it. God wants to bring that to our lives because that's the only way we will run. That's the only way that we will be shaped and formed into what He wants us to be. And brothers and sisters, when He says, wait on the Lord and be patient, He means be patient. He is the master sculptor, brothers and sisters, and I'm telling you, He is looking for patience. He wants patience to be worked in our lives. And for us to receive patience, we need to be still. We have to be still, brothers and sisters, and we are still often in trial. I've been in a trial many a time when I couldn't even move, when there was no way out, at least I thought. God put me so in a place where I was so inept, where I was so helpless, where I was so completely out of bullets. Okay? Praise be to God. He said, okay, now you're still enough, and I'm going to let you receive some patience. Praise be to God. Those are some deep trials. Those can be some very hard to sit still in places, can't they? And you notice how the Lord often in your life, and I can see and look back in these trials that He's brought into my life, I was squirming around at the first. Maybe I didn't even have to go that far through the trial. But I kept trying to fix it, and I kept trying to do this. And it was like, you know, I kept poking holes all over the place. And then finally, Lord, let me just get rid of all this and sit still. And it was amazing how it just came in. The peace would come over, and praise be to God, how He delivers. But see, the problem with this, brothers and sisters, I appreciated Brother Hill would talk about Him many times. It's like the guy with the headache. He says, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, if I still have a headache, I'm going to take the aspirin. Well, why did you wait so long? You never had faith to begin with. Just take the aspirin. It didn't really matter. Or when we say, oh, I'm trusting the Lord, I'm waiting on God. And all the time you know in your mind, you have already planned out what, when, where, why, and how it's going to happen. You're not fooling God. You might be sitting there looking as if you have the patience of Job, but there is a race going on inside of you that, my goodness, God help us. Amen. Amen. And see, that's the sincerity that I really want to impress. It's not me, it's the Lord. It's in our lives, brothers and sisters. Be sincere with the Lord. Be sincere. He may come. Let's be sincere. Let's be humbled before Him by His grace. Let's be open vessels to Him by His grace. Amen? Do you want to be found not having any thing of you and all of His righteousness? I do. That's how I want to be found. That's why He tells me that's how He wants me to be found. And so in His grace, I receive that and say, Lord, that means it's got to be all you, because I read and I understand there's nothing righteous in me. All right. Praise His name. Well, you see, this guy that runs to the medicine cabinet is starting to be let out here in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Ask believing. Ask believing the Lord. By God's grace, don't waver. Believe in the intercession of the Spirit. Believe in the life that He has given you. Christ in me. Christ in me. Yes, I can believe because He gave me that life to believe. Do you realize that the life that He gave you was always obedient to the Father? Think about this. Think about who you are in Christ. Come on. It's His life. It wasn't one that was just real close. One that could believe part of the time. This is His life. He's given me the ability, the absolute life to believe Him. And then He gave the empowering of the Holy Spirit to take it up levels that we can't even imagine. Praise His name. To grow us up into believing God. Believe that God hears you. Believe that God knows you. Believe that you're His son. You believe those things and you'll believe the word of God where He says, I have made the way of escape. It's already been done. It's already there. It was planned in ages past. Don't worry. Don't fret. Rest. I've got it. I've got this. Hallelujah. That He won't test us beyond what we can bear. That in due time He said that He would exalt us. That after ye have suffered a while, it will perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. James, brothers and sisters, is famous when everybody thinks of it. Oh yes, that's that famous book that has the verse, faith without works is dead. But what he's saying here, brothers and sisters, let's not get ahead of ourselves. He's telling you prayer without faith is dead. I'm not messing with you, I promise. Believe the Lord. Believe Him when you pray. Do you know that when you say in Jesus' name, we're in the presence of the King? That's confidence. I couldn't have confidence to come up here and preach the Word of God if I didn't know that. If I didn't believe that. Because I know that He's for me. And I know that He's for you. And I know that there's no difference. Because we're the children of the King. Praise His name. Isn't that wonderful? All right now. So it just doesn't happen here when we're in group format. Huh? It happens when we're at work, driving a car, when we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. Jesus, help me. Hey, David told you, if I make my bed in hell, you know He's there with me. Huh? He's got it covered, doesn't He? Come on. All right. This is His love we're talking about. So we don't just ask, brothers and sisters, but we ask believing. And that's verse 7 here where it says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." All right? And don't let the enemy mess with your mind. Oh, am I believing you, Lord? Am I not believing you, Lord? Just opening up. Christ in me believes the Father. Christ in me prays in faith. Done. It is finished. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I'm crucified with Him. I'm dead. I'm done. He liveth in me. He's the one, praise God. His life that He gave to me is that life that believes the Father. You have that life. Boy, let Him continue to connect that with love, that it's like, it's not just one wire of strand, it's like this cable that just, boldness, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Not given any opportunity to that enemy. But brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and read that again. "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." So He's calling out here, the key is to believe, to expect, praying always in all things. Pray for everything, brothers and sisters. Be continually in prayer, the Word of God tells us. Talk to the Lord. Don't be afraid of it. Even when you have to keep your mouth shut by the grace of God, let this mind be in you. Just keep going with the Father. And He'll keep you in perfect peace because your mind will be stayed on Him, won't He? Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't matter where you're at. I've been in some major predicaments in my life, and I know you have too, where I should have been panicking like never before. Oh, whatever it might be. But there'd just been a peace, a calm, because the mind of the Lord is stayed upon Him. The mind of the Lord, the life that He's given me. My goodness, my Lord had peace going to that cross and becoming sin for us who knew no sin. I'll never face anything like that. But I've got the same life to face it. More than conquerors are we. Through Christ who strengthens us. In Christ alone, hallelujah. Praise His name. I love to get up and preach the Word when it's by the power of His might. Yes. Amen. All right. So, we believe. We expect. With supplication and thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God. The prayer of faith saves. The Word. Think of this, the Word, Jesus Christ, the Word, works effectually in them that believe. The new man grows and becomes strong by God's grace as he's fed and that grace is taken in for that faith to grow. See, brothers and sisters, I've been there too many times as we read verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Been there, done that, don't like it. Oh, that's an awful place. God's grace, oh Lord, help me, help me, help me. But it's such a precious verse, and Brother Copley brings it out so sweetly. It brings to the forefront the two natures, brothers and sisters, that are at war. There's two natures, and they're at war all the time, aren't they? Yep. And this again, to me and to you, and I know that as we yield to the Lord in this. This is why we know that James here is preaching the grace of God. See, this isn't those who preach, once you're saved, sin is removed, every root and branch. Huh? Get around that before? Where somebody says, oh, well, see, he's such a sinner. He never really gave his heart to God. Huh? You know how they try to explain it off that way? Oh, he killed somebody. He's doing drugs now. Oh, he was never a Christian. But for the grace of God, there go every one of us. There isn't anything that you are not capable of. Know it. And then be thrilled about it. Don't let it go scary in you. Just be thankful how the Lord keeps you. I'm thankful I've got, I guess naturally speaking, a lot of genes of quick temper, hypertension, worry, all of those good things. If I started meditating on that, I really would be a whack. But it's wonderful to know that's the power that keeps me. Because that's not who I am. See, we have to understand and realize our citizenship is in heaven. That we're one in Christ. We're not a bunch of division of things. We're one. Praise be to God. And that's the power of Christ and His keeping power. As we've come into this meeting year after year after year, we come in here in unity of spirit by the grace of God. There's no respecter of person. God welcomes all of His children. And He's passionate about every single one of us. We're all highly favored. Amen? Amen. All right. See, and we start understanding and really just releasing into that. That's the love that God has given us. That's what will come in, and that's what will come out. So we thank Him for that precious privilege to love one another. But brothers and sisters, the word double-minded can be translated as two-souled. Sure, I'm brand new. And I'm thankful I'm brand new. I love to hear about the sister that loved to sing about, I'm brand new. But daily, brothers and sisters, I reckon, I count it. I'm dead unto sin. That's Romans 6:11. I'm dead unto sin. This life in me, first and foremost, this life in me, Christ Jesus' life in me, He's already won the victory over sin and death. That's done. So that's conquered in this life in me. And then the Spirit in me has the power over it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That's what it is. It's not positive thinking. It's not trying to open up new concepts. It's knowing who I am in Christ. That Christ in me is that all victorious. That Christ in me is that all believing. That Christ in me, all things are possible. Because there's nothing impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the power of the love of God. And praise God, in that I cry out by faith, He who is born of God doth not commit sin, and neither can sin. Because I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. Oh, my goodness. And now we go back to thinking, what is the message of James, brothers and sisters? The emphasis of James is our testimony of faith. The evidence. The evidence. The most holy faith, the faith which worketh by love. Is the evidence of my faith working Christ in me, the hope of glory for all to see? I was thinking, is this... The Lord's brought it to me. I'm so thankful for the types that God gives us. He speaks to us all the time. I'm grateful to Him. It's not worthy to be compared, but I'm a simple guy. And I'm thankful for the simplicity in Christ. And I'm thankful for His beautiful work. And I'm thankful for what He shows me. So when people belittle things, when people are testifying of the Lord, and it may be too simple to them, a cookie on the shelf is insulting, God help you. Amen. Okay? Now, I'm not defending myself. I really mean God help you. Okay? I always am thankful. I grew up with a mother that many of people used to say, oh, she just lives in la-la land. Everything's good and all the... And you know what? I looked at Mom and Dad, and I love Dad. Don't get me wrong. I love my daddy so much. But I prefer to believe like Mom than Dad. I knew who had the peace. I knew who had the rest. Praise be to God. I always used to tell Mom, I'm thankful you drugged Dad along. We did like him. We appreciated him. But oh, I'll tell you, my daddy is so precious to the Lord. He's used mightily by God. And so thankful for the things that the Lord brought into his life, brought into my life through my daddy. So praise his name. All right. But I equate it this way. Simple in my heart is, you know, you can love someone when you're courting them. And you do. You love someone. And you want to be with them. But yet, you're just kind of loving them. And yet, there might be other people during that time that you kind of want to be with. You might want to see. You might want to hang around some others. And I'm just talking maybe even in a friendly way. But then there comes a time, brothers and sisters, there comes a moment, and sometimes it's even at first sight when you see that one, that it's not just love, but you fall in love. I mean, you fell off. No one can catch you because you're gone, is basically the way it is. And it becomes just that one, and it becomes there's nobody else I want to be with. And I'm talking about every bit of your time. It's coming. I kind of wince because I think my boys are getting a little bit older and, the Lord tarry. But I don't mean it like that, but I do. Every one of your thoughts become of her or of him or however that works. And then everybody begins to know it because you can't hide it because you're sick of love. Praise the Lord. You become ill. And moms and dads know it, don't they? And then the testimony of that love, those feelings, the devotion, it's evident. You can't hide it. It's just the way it is. And you have friends and family, they start to tease you. And then some friends, they really don't understand it and don't like it. And they kind of get jealous, don't they? Some don't understand, some don't like it. But you know what? Finally, it's just too bad. I'm sorry, I'm in love. I can't help it. I can't explain it. It's just the way it is. And that's the reason that the son leaves the home and the daughter leaves the home. And you get a wife that goes into a place that's decorated like a total mess. And she still wants to stay and says, I love you. Amen. And then, from then on, though, there might be some indifference, huh? There might be some moments of ill feelings, moments of indifference, but that's exactly it. They're just moments. Just moments. Nothing's reigning but love. And then you're so full of love and you're so overflowing with love that sin, brothers and sisters, doesn't have the opportunity to reign. Isn't that wonderful? You're so full by God's grace of His love, sin don't have the opportunity to reign. It can mess with it a little bit from time to time for a moment. But there ain't no room for you to reign because the love of God is reigning. Praise the Lord, see? So full of Him, nothing else. Praise God. It just kind of continues to get that dross out of that wineskin. And then in verse 9, it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. That word rejoice even can be translated proud. Gotta watch that. But just be thankful. I know that causes us to wince. Ooh, I've been made so low for so long. I need to come up for air. Huh? No. He loves you. It's okay. We need to learn to rejoice and to receive it. I believe by God's grace that there's a believing. I'm not doubting that we don't believe this. But we also need to receive it. Open up. You know, we can be embraced. I always like to tease sometimes the saints that I don't know how, you know, they hug like 3 or 4 times their whole life. You go up to hug them and, you know, they're like this. You don't really know how. and then by God's grace, you know, you just grab them, you know. And there's a brother I kind of tease with a little bit. And like last Sunday, he just really hugged me. And I said, man, what a breakthrough. Praise the Lord. But see, that's the thing about believing and then really receiving it, bringing it and say, Lord, this is precious to my heart. This is sweet to me. I understand what you're trying to bring to my life. I'm thankful for these things. They're not easy because it's not of us. It's not. I was thinking a little bit about, Michelangelo's David. If you read that story about it, it was made, that masterpiece, his masterpiece, was made from an imperfect lump of marble. Matter of fact, it was kind of messed up before by another artist, by the world. Kind of got at it and things. But he saw something in that marble. He saw that that's the one I've been looking for. That everybody else passed up. He said, you're crazy, man. You're going to take all that time and you're going to work on that. You'll never get it out of there. And yet all the time, all he could see was that perfection. That perfection. You be still and you let me get at it, honey. I'm going to bring out something. And that's the beautiful thing, is it's the Holy Spirit working all the time on it. And I can see Eliezer bringing back, my goodness, we got to get back. We got to get back. I need my master to see how beautiful you are. And how wonderful. It's there. It's not by what we see. My goodness. What God sees. Oh, hallelujah. And this is what he said to us, brothers and sisters, if we would just yield to that. Oh, my. And I have to tell you truthfully that specifically that's what really allows, by God's grace, for me to endure with you in sufferings. And I mean that, to endure with you in suffering. And I believe as you endure with me and the different ones in the church that are going through some very difficult trials, as we endure with one another, otherwise we would be consumed in a sorrow. I was speaking to somebody the other day and I said, believe it or not, I really do have a tenderness in me. We were kind of going through something. I said, no, I really am. Believe it or not, I'm a tender person. And I appreciate the Lord has caused me to be tender, quick to hug and to want to help. I'm not complimenting myself. I'm just stating something. But I never want that ever, possibly of my nature, to stumble you or to stumble me. Or to ever interfere with the will of God. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful to the Lord. He's bringing something for Sunday. And I'm sure I'll bring it out again because the Spirit's had it on my heart so. But you know about those mountain goats. And I appreciated a picture that I've had up here for years that Brother Hill had. Sister Arlene did it, of the two rams that got down. There was a very narrow pass on a mountaintop. And there was a cliff that went down on this little path. And only one could cross at a time. And here they were coming together opposite ways and they met up. And this is true what they do. Now you got to think about this. These are those rams that fight and ready to kill each other and will kill each other for their mate when they're ready to go, you know. But they come at this impasse. And one gets down and the other walks over that one to get across. Yeah, it's the truth. And I'm going to hold off on this one because you have to come back Sunday to hear the rest. Been reading some other things on that have been very precious. But in that, the Lord has shown me that praise be to God as we're supplying and we're being used to do that. There's been times in my life, and especially as the Lord has called me to be a pastor, again, enabled by His grace only, can you ever get down to have somebody walk across you. But there are times too, as the Lord said, there are children and sons and fathers. I'm not claiming to be any, but I know by the Spirit, the Lord as a pastor has to enable me at times with the heart as a father. And there's times that I would rather just lay down, but there's times I cannot. By God's grace, I cannot. So, in that, we say, Lord, continue to work the masterpiece in us. See, we must be tested and we must be tried. The masterpiece must come out of fire. I gave you that testimony, my personal experience. I heard many do this, but I was up there in Seattle and saw those glass blowers. And they were putting that glass back in, back out, and back in, and back out. And this couple, these guys, I guess, were the best of the best. And they had this shop. And I sat there with my wife for, I'm going to say, a good hour or so. And this guy had been working on this thing, and it looked perfect to me. It almost bothered me to the point where I'm going to get up and say, knock that off. Quit putting that thing back in there. It's fine. It looks great to me. But he saw something in there. It wasn't done. And he kept going back in with it. And he'd take it out and he'd pound it and mold it and do it. And he'd put it back in there again. And I mean, he would melt that thing all the way down. I would think, well, he's going to pound it a little bit and just melt a little bit off. I mean, it would become a blob again. Because he had to work it some more. It was just amazing how the Lord was encouraging my heart. Only you know, Lord. Only you know. Help me not to be looking at that stuff. You're the one. You're the one. And praise be to God, whether it was the glass, whether it's the golden bowl, whatever it is, you've heard that story where they pound it and shine it and beat it and everything until he sees his own image in it. And when that happens, you'll see him face to face. Praise God. All right? I'll hurry along because I do want to get through the 12th verse. I'm encouraged. Now notice here, as we go into this, brothers and sisters, it's just the same for the rich when he is made low. So let's go ahead and read 10 and 11. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Many things being said in there, brothers and sisters. But what this really getting at here first is it doesn't say, as the rich man, praise God, is made low here. It starts off in a very good thing. But it's not saying that one or the other, meaning the poor or the rich, change their economic status to get favor with the Lord. Doesn't say that at all. What it's saying here is the new man took over in both of them. Self got out of the way, and they continued enduring the chastening as sons, and they both rejoiced, they both gave him praise, whether they were abased or abounding, in whatsoever state they were, to be content in Christ alone. Amen. Amen. Let the Lord have his way in your life. I've seen people of low estate sometimes get after and try to barb somebody that might the Lord given some natural increase to. I've seen people that the Lord's given increase to that try to flaunt it too. Know how to be abased and know how to abound. Praise the Lord, and being humble in whatsoever state, and being thankful and having need, but yet being full. Our life, brothers and sisters, is but a vapor and then it's gone. Our time is so precious and valuable, but it is just but a moment. And God help us to make it count. God help us truly to finish this course, as that coach said, John Wooden, as he finished through, he says, oh, I'm glad I did. That spoke to me. He said, I don't want to do this and say, I wish I had. I want to finish this and say, I'm glad I did. Praise his name. So we set our affections on the things above by the grace of God. We don't let our hearts be overwhelmed with uncertain riches. We know that the wood, hay, and the stubble is going to burn. And God encourages us, just take that gold, silver, and precious stone that I have. It might not seem much to the world. It might just be a little teeny portion, you know. But man, I'll tell you what that is to God. Oh, what it's going to be. And then, brothers and sisters, quickly, there's some wonderful dispensational truth in this as well, too. This is also speaking at the end of the age. The Jew of this age, this church age, as we get into that tribulation time towards at the end of this church age. The Jew in their complete helplessness. When all have turned against them, they're going to cry out to God. They are. They're going to cry out to God. Praise his name, they're going to cry out to God. I have some wonderful Jewish friends, some that are saved and some that are not. And I think about those ones. I think, Lord, I'd love to see them praise you now. But I do pray. I say, oh, I love them so much. Can at least they be part of the 144,000? And I mean that. I do. I pray. And I say, Lord, please. Because they're so precious to my heart, I'd love to see them praising the Lord now. But this is saying here that they will cry out to God, more specifically to Jehovah, to be delivered. While those that were made rich by the Antichrist stand and lament that the burning of the great city Babylon, that mighty city, in 1 hour thy judgment is come. So there's some wonderful things in that as well too. All right, and we'll finish up in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, because this is kind of the culmination of this 12 verses here. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And you think about what a comfort in the promise of this reward. And really listen to those words, because isn't this James in his foreshadowing by the Spirit of what is to be revealed just a few years later, even though this book in the Bible is after 2 Timothy, technically, or it was actually written prior to 2 Timothy. So in a way, and where I'm going with this, is you can see in this that this brother really, through the Spirit, is touching upon the exceeding riches of the grace of God, that one star does differeth from another in glory, that praise be to God, there's something really being brought out here. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul brings out, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Praise the Lord. And that crown of righteousness is to them that love, just like this one says, to them that love him, a little more specific, praise the Lord, to them that love his appearing. And God has that. So it will be worth it all. We know that we're not running in vain. And last of all, I'd like to touch on that phrase, the crown of life. That actually is translated the rewards of eternal life. And that's plural, the rewards of eternal life. And again, how precious that this brother, again, he's bringing out the exceeding riches of his grace. This is the Lord's bringing forth the one star differeth from another in glory. The Lord is bringing forth that there is something more. There is something beyond. There are rewards. One star does differeth from another in glory. And praise be to God, we are after, as we know, that grace causes in our hearts, that sun glory. And I know it says S-U-N, but I pray God, it has become S-O-N, glory, that the Lord has for us, that it is Christ in us, that we would have that desire to be that wonderful bridal company descending, praise the Lord, from heaven, having the glory of God. But it says here, to them that love him. And that love, brothers and sisters, is an agape love here. Eternal life, think about this. Eternal life obviously was given. Never to be taken away the moment that we gave our heart to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Never to be taken away. That precious promise given at that moment. But the rewards of eternal life, brothers and sisters, are built up in us by the word of his grace. Line upon line and line upon line. Precept upon precept. Amen. As we yield to God. And I thank the Lord. I don't believe most ever really thought. Not that we're trying to make something what it isn't. I'm just reading it for what it is. That James really does have embedded all over it the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it does. There's so much in here. And we're again just touching on it. This is the call, brothers and sisters, to the good soldier. This is the call that we've been reading about, to endure the hardness, to be the patient runner who wins Christ. Romans 8:18, for I reckon, I count it, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brother James and Brother Paul, to me, sing back and forth in many different ways. I understand that Paul was given that message. Please, don't misinterpret here. But this is the same Holy Spirit. This is the same Word of God. This is not the high water mark in a sense of Ephesians, which we've just come through. But I hope to pray that the Lord encourage our hearts to understand by understanding James and the truth in James, it even broadens the vision in Ephesians. And it really does. I pray that God brings us into that. Brothers and sisters, it's just a while because the bridegroom awaits. And what he's asked is that we would settle down and wait upon him and to wait for his coming, because his coming draweth nigh. It'll be worth it all. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's stand and be dismissed.